Deplorable Nation, a podcast where your voices can be heard, where things that affect you and your family are important, because it's important to all of us. Every one of us matters and everybody has a voice. We're going to be bringing you news, current events, and throw in a lot of humor. And then you decide for yourself. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Deplorable Nation. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet. Today, we're doing a special bonus edition for you, and I'm going to call it Election Correction. Today, I have two very special guests. The first is welcome back to Bob. Mr. Bob, how the hell are you? Bob, you're muted.
Oh, hello. Starting off on a good foot. Hello, hello, welcome, and aloha, James. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me, Janet.
I appreciate that. Oh, my goodness. The drama that we've had today is amazing. So anyway, our second guest today, welcome to our very good friend, James R. from Pirate Radio. Mr. James, how you doing?
Aloha, Janet. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be with you and Bob here. I got to say, you guys are some of the most talented people I've ever been around, so I feel like I'm in good company.
Well, we appreciate that, and we do so love your shows because you do a lot of work. You put in a lot of hours for your shows every week, so I'm tickled pink that we finally got the hookup and that you're finally on my show.
Well, I appreciate it. It's a slow news week. It's not like we have anything to talk about.
We have zero to discuss today. So, so I just want to ask what your opinion is of the lovely mainstream media news networks, especially election coverage night, where they were calling states either with 1% of the vote in or literally, in California's case, 2 minutes after the polls closed.
Well, me personally, I've watched this happen for years. I'm just excited that for the first time, everybody watched it happen and went, oh my God, I can't believe they just did that. See, for me, I'm like, yeah, this is normal stuff. They've been doing this to us for decades. But this time, they got caught with their hand in their cookie jar. I mean, I love the fact that Fox News is actually nailing the door shut behind them, losing all their viewership. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, they went from setting a record on election night, defeating by ratings all of the networks. Like, literally, Fox News set a, what was it, like a 14 million share something? I mean, they crushed the broadcast networks. And by Saturday of the same week, they were third behind CNN and MSNBC because of what they did. I mean, it's I just like, oh my God, that's so awesome.
Yeah, that's why I always say, like, get rid of all censorship, get rid of all political correctness, because we have the ability to police ourselves. So, like, when we're watching election coverage and you see Fox News behaving worse than CNN, dishing out Arizona to Joe Biden way too early, that was like the final nail in the boomer coffin, I guess you could say. I dropped Fox News a while ago, you know, with select people that I enjoy, just because I like citizen journalism, people like James R., others that do way harder work and provide much better content than Fox News. I call it, you know, it's more infotainment for me. But like James said, to see this happen on a mainstream scale and this quickly, to me, is a small victory in the court of public opinion, because we always talk about these elections being important, but guess what? These presidents, they can't do anything without our support. This is why they manufacture, this is why they spend so much time on PR campaigns, like what we're seeing with Joe Biden acting like he's the projected winner, and he's already saying he's setting up his cabinet and COVID response teams and all stuff. It's all about getting public opinion. So without the public opinion, they lose their power, which is why I love seeing Fox News fall flat on their ass.
I think it's fantastic. And to see them plummet beneath CNN made me chuckle, because CNN is literally the worst news network, I think, in the United States.
Hey, speaking of the worst news network in the United States, did you notice that even CNN pulled their projection for Arizona for Biden already? CNN is walking this back. What these people did, it's incredible. Oh,
did you see the recording of the news anchors today? That were doing the live broadcast, and they got news that Trump won another state, and the guy goes, holy fuck.
I saw that. But like, here's my question. I just saw a video of Portland of Antifa, you know, busting down a DNC, you know, Biden Kamala Harris building with spray painting fuck Biden all over the sidewalks and the walls. So my question is, if these people didn't want Biden either, where did these 74-75 million votes come from? To me, that's the most like smoking gun number. You don't even have to look deep into the, you know, the way they're stuffing the ballots or the Dominion voting systems and all the fraud. Just look at that number by itself. The fact that Joe Biden, you know, stumbled into this election and got 5 million votes. In whatever you want to say about Obama, he was a cultural icon in 2008. And this guy got 5 million more votes than Barack Obama did in 2008. What it shows is that they knew the amount of votes they needed in order to win this thing. And they didn't realize that Donald Trump was going to perform as well as he did, which is why they stopped this thing in the 11th hour.
Exactly.
I think you highlight the most excellent point that there is out there. So first of all, they're telling us that Joe Biden outperformed Barack Obama, but he did it with white voters. Wait a minute. I thought the Democrats told us that they were the party of inclusiveness, but yet Donald Trump beat the Republican records on almost every single minority demographic in this country, all of them. Like he doubled his black vote. He got 30% of the Latino vote, which was almost double. He got increase, 80% in the increase in the Asian community. I mean, he got everybody. So tell me how you can lose people out of your demographics across the board, but outperform the second coming of Christ in Obama in 2008. I don't get it. It's impossible.
And here's a question. So back on the Portland thing, if Antifa and BLM are destroying like DNC stuff now and saying fuck Biden, you know, all that money that all these companies and corporations and people were donating to their cause that was going to Act Blue, where the hell did that money go? If that's not really the candidate they were supporting, where did that money go?
Well, we all know what the game is there, right? Like, this is the pathway to Joe Biden resigning. So this is the pathway. They get Joe Biden in the presidency. He resigns. Kamala Harris becomes the first black woman president. I mean, this is their
storybook.
Although
she's not really.
Right. We all
know
that.
Although she's not really.
Yeah, she's not really black, and she's probably not even really a woman, but that's beside the point. This is their narrative.
You know, because she was sworn in as the first Indian. Right?
Yes.
And that was her swearing in ceremony. So it's convenient to jump race whenever you want to. Obviously, that's another marker for the Democratic Party. Not only do you have to have crime and corruption in your background, but you also have to switch races. So there you go.
I'm so tired of them using identity when it's convenient, even when they use religion when it's convenient, you know, when they're like, Jesus was a socialist, or they take a Bible quote when it like, you know, when it supports their cause, you know, they slip in and out of these different like identity politics. And then when it doesn't work for them, it's like a glitch in the matrix, you know.
Are you talking about like Nancy Pelosi when she always tries to quote a Bible verse and she never quite can find the right words?
Yeah.
And then she claimed before that everyone has a spark of divinity and everybody's divine. That comes from the book of Satan, ladies and gentlemen, not the actual Bible of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's, I think, the highlight point right there is that that's what they're doing all the time, right? When you believe in nothing, you can do anything. And that's what makes the good guy's job so much harder, is that we have to follow the law every time. It's kind of like the old maxim of, you know, the good guys have to get it right every single time. The bad guys only have to get it right once. You know, and that's what we're watching on a national scale. But here's the good news. We finally have a president and President Trump that doesn't take their shit and is going to fight back. And that's why we have all of this happening in five different states. You now have, what was it? I think it's 10 attorneys general from other states suing Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is incredible times that we're living in, because we're going to expose them all. We've been on the right side of this every step of the way, everybody, especially on this podcast. And we're going to be proven right again, because we're winning everywhere.
You know what the really funny thing to me is, too, that all of these people that have now come out were like, oh, my God, if we would have known ahead of time that Joe Biden was going to do a nationwide mask mandate and shut the country down, we wouldn't have voted for him.
Well, yeah, even when he denounced
remember
when he denounced the oil industry, and then they were showing up on Google search results that like there was a drastic increase in the search for how can I switch my vote?
Exactly.
You know,
it's the funniest shit I've literally ever seen in my entire life, which everybody that's listening knows that I'm old, but I have never witnessed this before in my life, where it's like so blatant, like the lies and stuff that they tell is just amazing to me. And people's blindness is amazing to me, because he's literally said multiple times that he was going for a nationwide mask mandate and a lockdown. And all these people are now proclaiming that they were not aware of that. You need to start researching, people. Wake the fuck up.
I think that's the point, though, is these people are asleep all the time. I mean, like, full time. These are the people we actually refer to all the time as the low information voters, the people that watch CNN one night and then said, OK, we're voting for Biden. I mean, that's literally those people. They don't understand even how the law works. It's even happening on our side of the aisle. When you have a lot of these people I watch on social media going, where's Bill Barr? Where's Bill Barr? Okay, you don't understand how the law works, apparently.
Right.
Because the last thing we want is a society in which the federal government can just seize the ballots, because that just leads to tyranny as well. But what you actually have happening is today, like I said was going to happen, once Bill Barr has proof, he has to have documented evidence of a crime being committed, he's going to unleash the dogs. What did he do? He unleashed the dogs. Oh, and by the way, the guy who was supposed to be investigating the election fraud, yeah, he resigned. Yeah. Well, I wonder why he resigned.
Gee, I don't know. That's a very interesting question. Maybe people should actually look into his background, because I guarantee you, you're going to find some really interesting partnerships that he has.
Oh, you mean like kinda working like with Lois Lerner?
Yeah, like the whole IRS scandal. Yeah, all of that kind of stuff. So for listeners that aren't aware, the IRS scandal was a big deal. We're not going to go into that, but you can actually research that and look it up. And so for people that are like, oh my God, Trump is like firing everyone and everyone around him is quitting, I wonder why.
But, you know, like kind of going further on the low information voters, because it is happening on both sides, even with the Republicans, you like they'll vote and then they'll say something like, huh, it looks like Biden might have stolen this. And then Thursday night, they're watching football again, you know, so that's what I was getting a lot on Friday when when NBC, MSNBC and everybody was announcing him as the president elect. I was getting texts from everybody like, oh, it's over. Oh, it's over. Oh, it's over. You know, what should we do? Everybody go to Parler now. You know, like everybody's jumping ship. And that's why this whole like MK Ultra works for them. You know, this is why they're doing that PR campaign, is to not just, you know, give the Democrats a sense of calm, but to gaslight Republicans and to lower their morale and get them to jump ship. So, I mean, you got to give them credit. And that's why you always have to respect your opponent in these particular, you know, situations, because, you know, they're not going to let go. They're not going to let their guard down, and they're going to do whatever they can to shape public opinion, because now it gets to a point where even if this thing turns around, what are they going to do for the next 4 years if Donald Trump wins? Just like they did to George Bush. You know, they're going to say your second term means nothing, and we're going to hear it for the next 4 years.
Right. And well, and so go ahead, James.
I was just going to add in there that, yeah, this is why people understanding how the law works is important more than anything else. I don't care if you know nothing. Understand how the law works, because for an example right now, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of fraudulent votes one way or the other, whether it's through the mail-in balloting, whether the counting machines, somehow or another. We're talking hundreds of thousands of votes. But what generally happens is we only actually are capable of processing and prosecuting, you know, a handful of election fraud. So the people, the meme kind of writes itself, right? If you, anecdotally, well, there was only 9 people convicted. That's not enough to change an election. Yeah, because those are the 9 they could prove. But those, in this particular right. instance, we're setting a pattern. We're showing the light on, look at the pattern here. Just because right now all we can prove is 3,000 votes in Nevada were cast by dead people, that should tell you that there's a big problem. Like, it shouldn't be, oh, there's only 3,000. That's not going to change the election. They were dead people. Dead! Right. Well, I don't understand why you're not understanding that this is what highlights the fact that there is something majorly wrong in these states.
Yeah, well, it's just like I'm the, just, oh, go ahead, Janet, go ahead.
Let me just say with the dead people thing, I moved from Indiana, and the county that I lived in Indiana, both of my grandparents had been dead for a very long time. They were still on the voter rolls. My parents took their death certificates multiple times. They were never removed after repeated stuff. It was threatened with legal action, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know that after my grandparents died, they voted in literally every single local and state and federal election for 20 plus, 30 plus years?
It's incredible.
This is like
before they were ever removed.
This is straight out of the movie Black Sheep. I know it's a stupid little comedy with Chris Farley, but this is exactly what happened. And the thing is like, it's kind of like a Nielsen rating, right? You take a small sample size, which is indicative of, like, you know, larger ratings. So if we take a small sample size of 3,000 in Nevada and some in Michigan, that's a sample size of what's going on throughout the entire
nationwide
country. Yeah, especially in swing states, because I don't know if you guys want to touch on this, but like, I did see something about the Benford law, and I didn't know if it applied to elections, but it is a way to detect fraud, and it's how they brought Enron down. But the way it works is like ones and twos and threes show up way more in statistics than 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So there's a natural down curve. And supposedly in a lot of these swing states and specific counties that Joe Biden's vote counts were detected by Benford's law as not appeasing to it, so that it was a red flag for fraud. So, I know some people were trying to debunk it, and that might be the wrong fight, but all these different statistical indicators, you know, combined.
And let me just put my 2 cents on this, and then I'll get James in here. Greg is certified in certified fraud examining. Benford's law is one of those things that in statistical analytical evaluation of data, that is how you find fraud. It is the first leading and foremost indicator of fraud. And think of this, let's say, for people that don't understand what the hell we're talking about. Okay, say like you work for a hospital corporation and you normally have like every month you have the same number of, like, let's just say gloves that you order. And then all of a sudden there's this giant spike. And so you ordered like 5,000 times what you normally would order. And so the curve goes straight up. It's like an arrow goes straight up where it's normally been kind of flat and current, or, you know what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden it just shoots up into outer space. That is one of the first indications that there is fraud, because that is a statistical anomaly. There is no reason in hell that your data should go up 5,000 times what it normally is. And so if you're looking at the election stuff and this is how this county normally votes. And then all of a sudden it's like a straight line up to space. That's how you know there's something wrong. And that's their first indication that fraud is definitely occurring.
And the other thing real quick is
something that never happens.
Is that it was only happening in a lot of the swing states. So like a lot of areas where they're like Democratic strongholds, you didn't see these same surges. As a matter of fact, a lot of times you would see decrease in votes in a lot of the big like Democrat, like I think one of the examples was like Cook County in Illinois. Like Biden actually lost votes from Hillary Clinton, like a significant amount. So you're seeing these surges in honestly predictable swing state counties.
Right.
I think that's the best part of what you guys are talking about. I'm glad you guys both were able to flesh out the Benford's Law, is that Benford's Law itself isn't a proof of anything. Benford's Law is the thing that forensic accountants use to shorten their exam time to target specific areas of fraud, because they highlight, okay, there's probably something wrong in this area. And so that's why the use of it here in this election is going, okay, look, how do we have a situation, let's take Georgia, for example, even though you just used Cook County, Georgia, right in Atlanta, one county that decided to count votes through the night went 85% for Joe Biden. But the neighboring county, also in Atlanta, only went 58%, and they didn't count through the night. So you're looking at it as using Benford's Law, you're going to look at that area and you go, wait a minute, it doesn't make sense that they would outperform by such an extraordinary number right next door. And when you cross state lines, the same is true of places like Cleveland. Why did inner city Cleveland only vote at a 65% voter turnout margin, but Atlanta turned out at a 90% turnout margin? There's another Benford's Law that you're going to go, okay, wait a minute, something's wrong here. So, yeah.
Right. It's happening all over the United States, because there are some counties that reported 100% of registered voters voted. That is a statistical anomaly in itself, because you will never in any election have 100% of registered voters vote, like ever.
I was just going to say that didn't even happen in 1776, people. Like, I mean, that didn't even happen at the very beginning.
No.
That never happened in a college classroom. I don't think I've ever seen 100% of people show up in my class.
Exactly. And that's why the Benford's Law is a real and actual thing. Actuaries use it all the time. Fraud examiners use it all the time, because that is statistically impossible. Anybody that's ever taken a statistics class will know what I'm saying. That is statistically impossible for that to ever happen.
Yeah. And then, you know, another statistical resource I use, I always talk about how I look at Vegas, you know, during the elections. And Trump went from a plus 30 dog to a minus 750 favorite, meaning he's a 7.51 to win. This was at 10 o'clock at night. This was right before Fox News said Arizona was going to Joe Biden. As soon as that happened, the numbers started dipping. And then when they did their shenanigans at 4 o'clock in the morning, he went from a minus 300 favorite to a plus 200 dog in 3 hours. Okay. If you want to talk about statistical anomalies, that doesn't happen. And I've talked to people that have been involved, you know, in gambling, different areas, you know, and they were saying Bovada has some of the tightest handicaps, and you do not see anything like that unless there's some type of fraudulent activity.
Right. Definitely. Right. And everything we've seen has been just a huge indication, which we're going to get way more in depth in just a moment. But James, what's your take?
I was just going to add that this is good news for us that they did this, because the last people you want to ever defraud is the mob. So when you're defrauding Vegas on who's winning, you're putting a lot on the line.
Right.
That is true.
You are not going to be invited to Thanksgiving dinner. You'll be lucky if you don't wind up with a necktie. You know what I mean? Just saying. Wink, wink. So one of the things also to look at in this election, which I find it weird that mainstream media, Twitter, Facebook, Google, everyone was censoring or hiding stuff about Benford's Law. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, you have all of these Democratic leaders and big people that are supporting Hammer and Scorecard, that should scare the living shit out of you. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah, and here's the good news. The biggest news of that I've seen is Sidney Powell went on national television and said, we have the evidence, we're pursuing the case against the fact that they used Hammer and Scorecard against our elections. Essentially, what I'm aware of is Hammer is the computer, Scorecard is the software that basically was able to be used to dial into some other software that we have being used in our elections and change actual vote totals. We've talked about this, and this is the thing for all of our audiences, is we have to try to separate all these cases, because there's a natural human tendency to, right, to try to set out, you know, one unifying, you know, thing, one single point in time. But they've used everything in this election. You have hand ballot problems. You have multiple different computer service mm-hmm. problems. One is the Dominion software, and the other one is this Hammer and Scorecard. But there's another one that nobody ever talks about, and this happens to be owned by, guess who? Dai Fi and her husband and China, and that is the Avid Leader Plus software. Now, the Avid Leader Plus software is actually in almost all of the Secretary of State's offices, and they use it that connects to the media. Now, what the issue is here is that that's the software that basically tells the media who's won and who's lost elections. They can manipulate that data on both ends, both from remotely, both from the media side, and both from the Secretary of State side. So when you have something like, yeah, Hammer and Scorecard being used to plug data into the Avid Leader software, this is how you can control the entire media from a single office in Washington, D.C. That's how it happens right there. That's how you often see the same narratives that are happening, right? Because this is more than just accounting software. People need to really research the Avid Leader Plus software, because it's a very mm-hmm. comprehensive software that basically is how they can disseminate talking points through the government from a central location.
And that's what a lot of people talk about with the 4 a.m. talking points that gets right. passed around a lot, that a lot of the information you get is decided, like you said, in one office room at 4 o'clock a.m. And that's the talking points of the day. Those are the focal points of the day. And what happened at 4 a.m. during the election? The same things happen. So that kind of alludes to your point that might be one of the main software programs that was being used to hijack this election, too.
Now, I'm just going to say, reminding everybody, don't forget the beloved Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy in her employment for over 20 years, not to mention has been on national news praising her ties to China. Okay, everybody knows that China is very excited right now. The Chinese state-run government, state-run TV, actually posted on social media how happy they were, and they were celebrating that Joe Biden won. Okay. So keep those things in mind. And listen to me when I tell you this, because people that don't know in depth about what Hammer and Scorecard is, I'm going to tell you something that should frighten you. These things were software that were developed for our CIA. It's a counterintelligence surveillance program. Hammer is actually the program that's used to spy without detection into computer systems. So you don't know they're there. You cannot see it. The Scorecard, however, is voting manipulation software, which means that when you vote electronically, which most states do, I will tell you there are some counties that still use paper ballots. However, most states have already signed on to this electronic voting system. And if you ever think that is secure, I've got some property to sell you in the middle of the ocean.
Well, here's the worst. Oh. Sorry.
Let me finish up real quick on the Scorecard stuff. Since it's voter manipulation software, what happens is you cast your vote. It's put into like a data pool. Let's put it that way, so people can understand it easily. And then later on, when the polls closed, that data pool is it's captured and sent electronically to another location. After your data is captured for your voting and it's collected into this pool before it's transmitted, that's when they can change your votes. Mm. They developed this for the CIA so that we can manipulate elections in other nations.
Mm. Here's the
They're
worst.
They're using it against us.
Absolutely. Here's the worst part about it is that we were promised. I know you're old enough, Janet, to remember. Bob, probably not. That we were promised that, no, don't worry. Nothing's ever connected to the internet. As a matter of fact, it's never been connected to the internet. Until this year, all of a sudden, Georgia connects all these election machines to the internet. Michigan, all of the places that use the Dominion software, they're all connected to the internet. Are you out of your minds? Who authorized that? Not the voters, I can tell you that. Because we're smart enough to know that. You hack banks every day.
Exactly.
Hell, military secrets have been hacked out of our country. And yet you're going to connect voting to the internet?
Well, and here's a couple interesting things about that. When this was designed for the CIA, which everybody knows how much love I have for the CIA and the wonderful things that they do for all of us. That was a joke. Mm-hmm. Anyway, under the Obama administration, this software was actually taken and privatized and sold to the highest bidders. But you can't get that information of who it was sold to because that's a no-no. You're not allowed to have that information. So you have software that was developed to influence and affect outcomes of elections in other nations that the Obama administration privatized and sold to, quote, individuals or organizations, which is now being used against the citizens of the United States. You should be fucking pissed. If you're not, I'm going to come to your house and punch you in the throat because something is fucking wrong with you.
Well, even the left should be pissed because they should realize that if they can steal elections, so can we. If we've designed software that can manipulate the results in foreign nations, don't you think that's going to piss off foreign nations? Like, I mean,
I don't
understand how there's a win here for anyone. And this goes back to the low information voter. These people don't understand what's happening. They have an absolute lack of concept of how dangerous this is to be out, to be even in existence. I mean, I think that this highlights why my system for voting works. Let's get some ink. Everybody stick your thumb in an ink pad, vote next to it with your thumbprint, and then when you're done voting, stick your thumb on your forehead so everybody knows you freaking voted once. You know, this is the simplest way to protect our elections, but nobody's ever going to do it. Yeah, it's insane what these people are promoting.
Well, so, okay, all of that being said, the only way to stop it is to expose it. So wouldn't it make sense that this is one big sting operation? Right? That the trap has been set this whole time.
Yes.
I mean, that seems to be a conversation that's been creeping up a lot, that in order for this to stop or to, you know, to be exposed, like Donald Trump had not necessarily allow it, but to set the trap in that way they can, you know, let them think they got away with it and then just collect all the evidence and come in, you know. Those are some things, you know, that could be an outlandish theory, but it makes sense pragmatically too.
Let me just make one point is I don't like the use of the term sting because mm-hmm. we didn't provide anything to these people. Like the traditional sting, what sting even means is that like the FBI or the DEA, whatever, right? They're providing either the cocaine or the money to create a situation. Okay. So this isn't a sting in that sense. So I object to the use of that term because
okay,
I think it's not for you, but for,
no, I know
the,
you mean.
For the society. You know what I mean? That it's setting the wrong
tone. So what's a better word?
I think that the truth is that, of course, the left did things and we were prepared for it, which is more like a surveillance operation here. Like, you know, the FBI says, hey, wait a minute. We just got notice that, you know, drug dealer A is going to go make a deal with drug dealer B. That's not a sting, but the FBI is still watching. and they're still collecting evidence at the same time, right? So it's much more like a surveillance operation where, you know, they basically put their anti-fraud people on the case. And, you know, from NSA to cybersecurity, General Paul Nakasone was on the case, watching what happened in real time. And they're going to be able to document this in many states. I think that we're about to see that happen, where we're going to present fraud from a different angle that's never been seen before, because the president is pissed and he's coming full guns a-blazing. But I don't like the people that think that it's a sting, because I think it sets the wrong tone in their mind. Donald Trump did not want this to happen, so he didn't provide the means for them to steal the election. That would just be stupid. So
is Old Dominion the cocaine? Is that what you're saying? So he didn't provide a lot.
Right. Exactly.
Let me just say, if you look into them, and it takes you a very long time to dig deeply on them because a lot of information is suppressed. But I will tell you, Mama has literally been diving for hours on this crap. I just want to say, Dominion voting systems have been used provedly so as of right now in 29 states. However, I will tell you that 33 of the United States have actually developed or accepted the Dominion software. And the lovely founder of Dominion, his name is John Paulos, P-A-U-L-O-S. He is the CEO and founder. Little known fact, this jackhole actually testified in front of Congress on January 9th, 2020, about how accurate and fantastic and wonderful and secure their voting systems were. You can actually look this shit up at docs.house.gov. You can read his entire testimony statement. And I will tell you, one of the interesting things that I found after reading his statement about how wonderful their system was and how secure and safe it is, because, you know, like the Department of Homeland Security approved it and the Elections Assistance Commission approved it, which you need to do some research on the people that are on that. In his actual statement, he was praising the Congress for giving them $425 million in 2020 by Congress for, quote, wink, election security, shoring up election security. Now, I'm going to tell you, this fucktard and his partner that developed this voting system, interestingly enough, they're from Canada. They have really deep and wonderful ties to the lovely Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And weirdly enough, this particular company set up a, quote, philanthropic and humanitarian organization to help disenfranchise voters. People that are disenfranchised from using the electronic voting system.
In other words, Democrats.
Exactly. Guess who these motherfucking shitbags partnered with?
Clinton Foundation. That's a wild guess.
The Clinton Foundation.
Show me what he's won.
And it's not... You know, ding, 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 you want a free toaster oven. Okay, so.
I need a toaster oven, actually.
Exactly. I'm going to buy you one. That's going to be your Christmas present because I love you. I'm going to, so you can make bagels and stuff. So, anyway, these lovely people, they're from Canada. Their main office is in Canada. They set this up. They partnered with Justin Trudeau to, like, sell this voting system that's really secure to Canadians. However, there was a huge snafu, kind of like our elections right now, where their elections went to shit and there was a lot of fraud. And guess what? You can't rerun them through the Dominion system because it's glitchy. Imagine that, it's glitchy. And so all of these provinces in Canada that were set up on this lovely system, they actually had to recount by hand all of the ballots because of election fraud.
Speaking of that, that's part of Jay Sekulow's lawsuits right now. He's already announced 5 states, they're going to sue for hand recounts because of this. So, this is, the process is huge because we have so many states involved, but we were all correct on election night, and so was Vegas. I mean, we know for the president's going to win North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and likely Arizona. So we know the president's going to, just like Mike Pompeo said today, which is grand, there's going to be a smooth transition to the second term of Donald Trump.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. Oh, when they asked him that question, what are you guys doing? About the transition? And he was like, well, we're doing whatever we can to transition into a second presidency for Donald Trump. I was like, oh my God.
And it's funny because the news reports the other day, like, and of course, all the like idiots that don't know shit about our law and stuff, like Alyssa Milano and all the other Hollywood retards were like, oh my God, like, it's time to just concede. And like, I'm so upset because there's not like a peaceful transition of power. And like, you guys have not even accepted the results of the election.
Yeah, but they're and, just the. They're-
you should already be working hard with the Biden team for that.
But, we talk about low information voters, and, sadly enough, people like Alyssa Milano do have fan bases of low information voters who take that small tidbit of information and regurgitate it to other low information voters.
Exactly.
And that's why you're seeing that. That's why you're seeing the same thing on MSNBC where, they're saying the exact same thing about, Trump's denying peaceful, transformation of power. You're seeing Donald Trump himself getting censored on every single tweet, every single comment he makes. There's a little caveat at the bottom that's saying that, these claims of election fraud are disputed. You're not seeing anywhere on the other side that's claiming Joe Biden is the winner. You don't see any caveat saying these claims that Joe Biden is the projected winner are being disputed currently. We're not seeing that. So that's why it's important when we're navigating all this to understand like the zeitgeist, like the social, the public relations campaigns, and the important that the information war that's going on right now is just as important as the war going on in the courts and trying to figure out where all the fraud's coming from. Because if you don't have public opinion, if 60%, I know that's your magic number, James R., think that this was a fair and balanced election, and then Trump flips it and he wins, guess what we have? We have more riots in the streets, which, What are you gonna do with it? Insurrection Act? Like what's going on with all that stuff? So I mean, there's a lot, so many elements at play here, which is why like this chess game that's going on. I don't know how it's. One thing I don't know is how long this is gonna go on for. That's like the biggest question I have. And does it end up in the Supreme Court?
3 weeks. It's gonna go at least 3 weeks. I told everybody that, and I predicted even what you're saying, what you guys just talked about. I told everybody, look, the next stage is gonna be Donald Trump should concede for the sake of the nation, for the sake of unity, for the sake of, keeping the nation calm and peaceful and blah, blah, blah. But why would we concede? You lost. But that's it. You're exactly right. This is about putting out fraud in the zeitgeist. And that's why you, Janet, myself, that's our job. Our job is to combat that and make sure that the zeitgeist is full of you cheated. You're a piece of shit. Go fuck yourself. It's really the most important thing to get out there.
I don't feel one bit bad about it because we had to sit through the Russian hoax and the impeachment, the
Ukrainian hoax
for 3.5 years.
Right.
3.5 years. So I don't feel bad at all. And I won't feel bad, not to say Joe Biden's going to be president, but if things were to go turn into a wrong direction, guess what I'm going to be doing for the next 3 years? Same thing.
Right.
I'm not going to stop, So
I'm not either. Well,
I had a troll come into one of my scopes and ask me, "Well, what are you MAGA tards going to do when MAGA's no more?" I was like, "MAGA's never ending. Right. You don't get it. And there's right. no end to MAGA. MAGA will be forever. Do you not get that? With 95% approval in the Republican Party, we run the party now. It doesn't matter who's at the top. It doesn't matter what they try, because we control the voting block. We are 95% of this voting block now. So as long as you and me and Janet and all of the rest of the patriots that are out there on podcasts, on YouTube, on everything else, as long as we continue the fight is ours. We own it. We can do and move the entire society exactly where we want it. And that's why there is no life after MAGA. MAGA's forever.
Right. 100%. And I just want to say, me personally, I'm never going to quit, because I'm kind of an asshole. And when I sink my teeth into something, I'm not going to let go. I'm like a pit bull. And so if you think I'm going away and you think you can wish me away, I feel very sorry for you. And just as a side note, I got to back up for just a second. This lovely Dominion Voting Systems and their lovely CEO, John Palos, he created this philanthropic organization. It's called the Dalian Project. It's D-E-L-I-A-N. When he did so, he partnered with the Clinton Foundation. You can look on the Clinton Foundation website and actually find the shit yourself. He partnered with them in 2014. And here's the kicker. They got $2,250,000 from the Clinton Foundation in partnership with Canada and Justin Trudeau to do the disenfranchised voters. And guess what? They do these voting systems in Canada, in the Philippines, in Mongolia, Barbados, Dominica, Guyana, Jamaica, South Africa. Where is one of Bill Gates' favorite philanthropic organizations? South Africa. I'm just saying, people, learn to read, learn to research.
Learn to read.
Yeah. Learn to read for yourself. Learn to research, because you can't always expect to be spoon-fed. We can point you in the right direction, but it's up to you to be awake and be alert and to look for stuff yourself. So extremely important,
I think, that's,
that you do that.
I think that that's the most important thing that I think Donald Trump's going to work on this next term is going to be, and he's already talked about it. We talked about it a long time ago, which is school choice. But the reason that's right. important is because I don't care what the teachers say, teach, whatever. The thing that's missing is critical thinking skills. Like,
right, 100%.
The test that the left constantly fails is the other shoe test. They like, it's like they have this lack of conception that anything you can do to us, we can do to you. Like, it's for right. some reason, they don't understand that screaming for us to be deplatformed, like somehow that's just a joke. It's all going to be good when, because you think you control the technology today, but that doesn't mean you're going to control the technology in 5 years. And you need to really wake up to that fact. Like, I don't get why they fail that test more often than anybody.
It's a perfect example. Sorry, Janet. I just had this thought. Like, I saw this video of Antifa going through the streets. I think it was Portland. I could be wrong with the city. And this guy is like, he's like, I have a Biden sign in my front yard. I'm like, I'm with you guys. Don't destroy anything. And guess what they did? They just started destroying stuff. I saw another video of these kids playing beer pong and Antifa and BLM. They're going through the streets and so, you know, they have their phones out and they're cheering. And they're like, yeah, all of a sudden this brick comes through their window and they're like, we're with you guys. We're with you. No, you're not. And it's a harsh realization that as soon as these philosophies become into effect, you are going to be the first victims of a lot of this stuff. And that's one of the things that is talked about when socialism's implemented, is these people are actually going to be the first victims because they're not going to be prepared for it.
Right. And that's exactly we talked about here on a previous episode, talking about the color revolution and and how they implement all of these things and their main goals. And so all of these politicians and people that think they're safe from any backlash or violence or destruction are literally the first people. If you look up history, they're literally the first people that this revolution will turn on. And you're not safe. It doesn't matter if you're a congressperson or if you're one of the deep state actors or if you're a Hollywood barf everybody. You know, these people, they're going to get their comeuppance. I'm just saying.
My lovely wife, Tina, talks about this all the time, and it's called Mao Army tactics. That you're exactly right. You can look at 100%. What happened in China. You can look at what happened under Lenin. You can look at what happened under Castro. Every single time, it was the useful idiots that they shot first because they didn't want the useful idiots used against them. It's to me, it's common sense, right? You never want your weapon turned against you. You'd better destroy that weapon. That's what they did every single time. So they're perfect examples of that Mao Army tactics, that they're going to destroy these people. And we can say it all we want. We can, but until they learn critical thinking skills for themselves, until they learn how to do other shoe tests before they, you know, jump on these bandwagons, they're the ones that are going to destroy society. Like, this is the thing I think we, no matter what happens here, half the country is going to be pissed off. It's a question of how do we handle that being pissed off, right? So I can guarantee you that there's at least, even if you say there's only 0.5% of Trump supporters, even if you say that tiny little number, 0.5%, there's going to be people that are pulling triggers over what happens. That's going to happen. Because they're not going to let our country just be stolen by socialism. That's a major thing. Now, on the other side, I think we've already seen the worst they can do. Burn their own cities and act like a bunch of fools. So I think we're okay with that. Me personally, yeah, keep going. Like, it does nothing to me.
Well, and here's the thing, like AOC and all these other prominent Democrats, even journalists that are like, calling for the destruction and putting on a list of any and all Trump supporters for future reference so that they can come at you. Antifa actually said in a tweet on Twitter, which of course wasn't censored because, you know, Twitter loves violence as long as it's not against the media. They even said, like, we're going to release the list of all the Trump donors. Go to their house. Quote, don't be violent, but go to their house and cause a problem.
I think Bob has talked about this before. I mean, you're literally watching the Gestapo happen in real time.
100%.
Like, this is 1930s. Yeah, this is 1930s Germany. Like, blah and in your face. Like, how can even a college-educated person say they don't recognize the exact same things happening now that happened in 1930 Germany? Like,
it's exactly what you were saying, is that they're not taught critical thinking skills, even at the highest level of education. And that's why, you know, in my department is memes. That's my department. The whole adage of the left can't meme, the reason why that arose and the reason why they cannot meme, They're not funny. They don't understand comedy and humor because they lack critical thinking and they lack self-awareness. And you have to have 100%. Both of those things in order to be funny, humorous, ironic, and in order to meme.
Well, I always like to put it out like this.
Don't know history.
In order to perceive funny, you have to be smart. In order to perceive wit, you have to be intelligent. So since they're neither of those two things, that's
100%.
Your answer.
I agree. But I will just throw this out there. Janet can't meme, so don't ever look to me for a meme because I can't do it. I'm just not smart enough
to do
that.
Well, I like to tell people all the time, it's not meme. Memeing is being able to concisely put out an idea to the masses. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be video or it has to be, you know, an image. Meming is all about just setting an idea concisely into people's minds. So with your podcast, you probably can meme, you know, don't think of it that way. Yeah, you just do it with your words. You know, just you just got to set the right meme in existence.
Yeah. And for me, like, I'm a talker because working in healthcare and then also teaching, that's what I do the best. And I can explain things to people in a manner that they've never like thought of before, where it's like, oh my God, like I totally get it now. I totally understand it. But I have a serious question because I get this all of the time. And James, I know you are like the boss level on this subject. So of course we've filed all these lawsuits. There's like so much stuff that's mounting. We have sworn affidavits. We have witness intimidation, which has happened today, which is interesting because I thought the left likes to protect whistleblowers, but not in the case of whistleblowers that blow up your little party that you're throwing. But if it goes to the Supreme Court, and when it goes to the Supreme Court, what is their role and like what happens in the Supreme Court?
Well, the Supreme Court essentially puts constitutional tests to everything that comes before them. So whatever comes before them has to be challenged on a constitutional basis, which is often why they don't even take up cases. So in this particular instance, there's actually quite a long way to go before we get to the Supreme Court on some things, while on others, there's going to be a very short turnaround time. One of those short turnaround times is going to be what most people kind of understand that's happening right now, which is that all ballots received after Election Day will be disqualified, all of them. Right. Now, the function of that is going to be where the rubber meets the road. So, in, for example, Justice Samuel Alito issued a stay order to Pennsylvania to segregate the ballots received late because they already had enough evidence that the case was coming before them that it was going to be challenged on constitutional grounds. So he issued that order. Well, guess what Pennsylvania did? They said, nah, screw Justice Alito. So now we get to see what Justice Alito does. Is he going to hold them in contempt? Is he going to jail the Secretary of State? Who's going to be ultimately held responsible? What's going to be the function of that? Then what's going to be the function of processing once they decide, okay, the Supreme Court in its full has taken up the court case and has said, no, you cannot accept these ballots after Election Day. Now, are they going to have to hand count and try to hand segregate all those ballots? So what we could end up with, I'm not promising this, but what we could end up with is literally a Supreme Court justice sitting there supervising the hand counting of the Pennsylvania ballots because they need to figure out how to segregate out all of the late received ballots. So that is one case, but that's not the sum total of the cases. So what you're going to basically see is at least in the state of Pennsylvania, now that's also going to set precedence because you also have other states that have decided to receive ballots that or after the date of election, because there's something very specific in the laws here that just because they decided in most cases without the state legislature's involvement, that's going to basically invalidate all of those late received mail-in ballots, even the ones postmarked by the correct date. Why? Because it is in most states' election laws, it says the election ends at 8 p.m. on Election Day. So you can't prove that these were received before 8 p.m. on Election Day or whatever the time is in your state. Those things are going to be determined to be null and void. So this is a long fight, which is why we've got multiple cases. But to give people even more hope than what I just laid out for you is that we actually have the Pennsylvania state legislature itself inside the state already saying, stop, cease and desist. Do not certify anything. We're going to take over our legislative power. We're going to make sure that this election goes according to plan. And so they're going to take that over. The same is happening in Michigan. So again, there's irons in every fire right now.
So I'm also seeing a lot of this stuff of individual cases of postal server workers coming out and saying that they're actually they were told by supervisors to backdate some of the ballots coming in as well. Are you seeing some of that stuff? Is that going to end up there as well?
Yeah, that's not likely to end up before the Supreme Court, but that is likely to end in some fraud convictions, which is why you saw Bill Barr step into the fray. Those are going to bring federal cases because now you've got the Postal Inspector General involved as well as the FBI going to be looking at basically, criminal actions. So those criminal actions are going to be handled by the Attorney General. And that's where you're going to get, some convictions for fraud in the election, but that's not going to affect the results of the election, which is why I say it's very, very important to separate what's happening in your minds, because each thing is not necessarily a sum part of the whole. They're separate and they're doing separate things. So what's going on with these postal inspectors is going to be fraud convictions. That's not likely to affect any counting or outcomes. It is, however, going to be used as evidence in cases where Jay Sekulow and those guys are going to go before like the courts and say, hey, look, we're demanding a hand recount because of. And so that's going to be, like evidence portion A, but that's not going to itself cause anything to go to the Supreme Court.
What continues to boggle my mind is just thinking about this, that there's a possibility, and maybe you even have a different ballpark number, that up to like 20 million votes in this election were fraudulent on the Democratic side. Can you believe that number? Like 15 to 20 million votes.
Oh, absolutely.
That is unbelievable.
That's not surprising.
Yep. Yeah. When you start talking about, okay, let's just take it for like, shits and giggles, right? How many times do you think we actually catch the drug dealers in your city selling drugs?
Right.
Yeah, so it's a very small number. So the same would apply here. It's the law of statistics. It's based on anomalies, like we've been talking about most of this whole episode, is that, they caught upwards of, 6,000 dead people voting in a state. They caught upwards of, 600,000 late votes in a state like Pennsylvania. One state. They caught 100,000 late votes in Georgia. I mean, these are numbers like you got to go, my God, the statistics just prove that there is something really wrong that happened here. And so that's why I have the utmost confidence and have since the election. I called the election on election night and I called the states correctly. And this is what's going to happen. And so I'm not even talking about Nevada. Even though Nevada may now turn red because of what's happening. I mean, they've got up to 50% fraud in one state. Think about that. Up to 50% fraud in that state of Nevada. These are incredible things to think about.
So here's the most important question. I know everybody's wondering what's going to happen with this. I bet a lot of money on Trump to win Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Michigan, Nevada. Mm-hmm. At underdogs, I would have won about $2,000. The big question is, am I going to get my money back?
That is a very good question. And I think that in most cases, it would be yes. Yeah. I think in most cases, it should be yes. Because one thing Vegas and all of these betting sites want is integrity. Oftentimes, even though people complain about it, Vegas will cancel a game because of something like this, right? They'll just say, yep, we're just going to give everybody their money back. We're not paying any bets on this fight. Or on this, because there's too much, like the fight just went crazy. We don't trust the result. So, this will happen a lot, especially in fights, but in allegations of point shave bets, like where things that just happen and they catch it before they pay anybody out, this happens. So this may be one of those cases where all of the Vegas, they say, okay, look, we don't want half the country pissed off on this bet. So we're just going to say, okay, we're not paying anybody off, but everybody can have their money back.
Yeah, and the other thing you were saying about what percentage of the drug dealers get caught, ballot harvesting, it's almost like drug dealing. Like there are going rates for votes, whether it's $5 per vote, $10,000 or $10 per vote. One person that I trust, and I'll keep his name anonymous, but he told me that the going rate for or for votes is essentially like $5 a vote. So like $1 million can get you 200,000 votes for ballot harvesting. So I mean, there are connections between drug dealing and ballot harvesting.
Yeah, James O'Keefe has that proof on his website right now. I mean, you know, that backs up exactly what you just said, that this is these people were selling. You know, how many votes do you want? Okay, it'll be $1 million. And then they go get the votes. They go manufacture it. Like, we've known these things have happened anecdotally for years, but we've never had anybody that was going to pursue it. We've never had anybody go after it. Now I think we do, because we have the president and we have, honestly, AG Barr. They're going to go after this stuff. They're going to try and shut it down. And then you have today, speaking exactly what you're talking about, you have Josh Hawley trying to introduce legislation today to make it illegal for ballot harvesting in the United States. So
I love him.
We're doing things.
He needs to run.
Yeah.
Like, for bigger things, because I like him a lot.
I think a lot of people agree with you. I think Josh Hawley is a future senator.
I have a question. Okay. In my opinion, and I've said, with which we haven't talked about on here, but people have heard me talk about this before on live streams and stuff. The implementation of the CISA organization, that CISA, that's the cyber intelligence portion for elections. It was started after 2018 from all the election fraud during the House and the Senate races. With the introduction of that and Trump's EO from 2018, making voting a quote critical infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. My personal opinion on this is that we are definitely going to see a lot of people's heads roll in this. And I know a lot of people like lose heart and lose faith, and they're like, oh my God, and like nothing's ever happened before. However, people, I want you to understand, in my opinion, this is huge, and people have to go down for this. Like, big, big people have to go down for this, because if you have this blatant of election interference, election vote stealing, etc. If you do not put a stop to this and a final stop to this, then it's pointless to ever fucking vote in another election ever again. That's my personal opinion. How do you guys feel about that?
I feel the same way that I do about a lot of the stuff that was happening with the coronavirus. I feel like, you know, we had to see it. It had to be demonstrated, and people, you know, in a lot of these power grabbing governors and mayors had to be exposed for what happens when you give them the ultimate power to just shut businesses down. You know, like so that way the next time it happens, maybe we try to approach this a little bit differently rather than bending over. You know, so I think it's important that we see this, you know, the optics of this is unbelievable. I mean, if you have two eyes, it's like unless you're completely blind and tunnel vision, I mean, you have to see that the irregularities are at minimal worth an investigation. And that's what John Solomon was saying. Like, at minimum, it's worth a forensic investigation, you know? So it's not completely conspiratorial to demand, you know, a voter fraud investigation when all these different various forms of voter fraud seem to be popping up left and right in all these swing states.
I would totally agree with you. And I would set it as this: our country will cease to exist if this isn't settled to the satisfaction of the American people. And it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter if zero people get sent to prison or a million get sent to prison. What matters is that the people have to accept that we have a legitimate process for elections moving forward. Otherwise, we have just become a banana republic. And that's how the people are going to see it. Intelligent people in this country are going to see it just like you and me. They can manipulate our elections anytime they want. That makes the elections unimportant. We are now ruled by our rulers. It's time for a revolution. I mean, there's no middle ground to that. These are only democratic answer to people running the power over us. And that's what Bob alluded to, right? This is why governors have been overturned already by the Supreme Court of the United States, is that Pennsylvania is the perfect example of that. They've invalidated their orders already, that you don't have the authority. Mm-hmm. Governors are not dictators. If we can't trust in our electoral process, that means our government is running us and they can just do whatever they want. And at that point, it's time for the people to revolt. And we've done it before.
Right. And you're 100% correct, because the government is elected by us and we are the rulers of the government. unbeknownst to some people that have never learned history and don't know it, like anything about the Constitution or why we were set up in the first place. If you do not have leaders that do the people's will, the people need to stand up and take that power back, because they work for us. We don't work for them. We pay taxes. We elect people to be our voice, and if they're no longer your voice, you better get out your house, get off your ass, and do something about it.
Well, the good news to that, too, is that a lot of people don't realize that even the American Revolution, where we basically kicked the British out, it was never supported by more than 30% of the population. We got that now. So, you know, there's 30%, trust me, of this population.
Yeah, more than 30%.
That's exactly my point. So that's why it has to be settled to the people's satisfaction. I have a lot of confidence in what's going to happen because of the things that we figured out before. Like, for example, I've talked to Bob both off air and kind of on air about General Paul Nakasone, and I encourage people to figure this out for themselves. But in my opinion, what happened in the 2016 election was General Paul Nakasone was the guy in charge of securing the election. And he got us Donald Trump because he counteracted what happened when they tried to hack that election. Now, how do I know this? Well, it's all anecdotal evidence, but things start to speak to me in ways that they maybe not to other people. But let's put it this way. General Paul Nakasone got three what I would call battlefield promotions in a non-war zone. Think about that.
Right.
Right. He got three promotions in 2 years. This does not happen at the level of lieutenant general, which is where he was. Okay. So he got three. And then let's look at who promoted him. Well, that was Admiral Mike Rogers. Okay. Mm. Now let's look at who went to Donald Trump and said, "Hey, Trump, they've been spying on you. Here's all the evidence." Well, Admiral Mike Rogers. No, who was Admiral Mike Rogers that handpicked to succeed him? To not just run the NSA, but also cyber security. Oh, yeah, he picked Paul Nakasone. So when you start adding up all of these little anecdotal pieces of information, you start to figure out that, wow, General Paul Nakasone was in charge this time of monitoring what these guys did. So he saved our election the first time. He was hand-selected by Admiral Mike Rogers, and he happens to be in the key position now. I'm pretty confident we got all these people.
I do, too.
I love it.
And I feel like people ask all the time, like, are we still okay? Like, are things going to be fine? I literally have zero doubt in my mind that things are going to be fine. I have the biggest sense of calm and peace that I think I've ever felt. I felt a massive shift a couple of days ago. And I will tell you, I have no worries because everything's coming to light. Everything's being exposed. The corruption is coming to light. People that have never seen it before, because, you know, you got to wake people up a little bit at a time. And so people that just voted are like, literally, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the way we run our elections. And so I'm just saying, I'm good with all of this. I have zero worries. I know it's going to be okay.
I agree with you 100%. And I just wanted to make the quick point that this is exactly why we're going to have the most consequential Supreme Court decision in maybe the history of the country, but definitely in our lifetimes when we get this next one out of there on the, you know, on the elections. And so I feel the exact same way as you, as a matter of fact, just a few days ago where I had that, I felt that polar shift inside me that said,
it was like huge.
Bang, everything's going to be okay.
Hmm. And here's the other, you know, one of the indicators of that and something that people aren't talking about is what's going on in Congress, especially with the House of Representatives right now. That's a conversation that hasn't been had enough, you know, how they're losing their power. And that's what kind of, it's another indicative of fraud as well, because I mean, we had a lot more seats up, you know, to be lost or to won, and we're flipping the House. Nancy Pelosi's losing power. AOC saying she's going to quit. And, you know, the midterm elections in 2 years, it seems like, you know, if it keeps trending in that direction, that we're going to, you know, take the House of Representatives as well. And we're seeing a lot of ballots where people only filled it out for Joe Biden and didn't do the rest of the ticket as well. So
exactly. Which another fraud indicator on the Benford spectrum?
So, I mean, how many?
Anyway.
Don't forget this.
Just saying.
And don't forget this. Not only have we flipped the House, in my opinion, I think that we were one House seat away from actually taking the majority, but they already control enough votes to control enough on the floor, because in order to be Speaker of the House, you need 218 votes. There's that number for Nancy.
They don't
She's
have
already
that, yeah.
screwed when it comes to that. Yeah. But let's not forget what's going to happen next March. I'm reliably told that due to the census, we're going to have at least four contracted Democrat seats between the states of just California and New York. That's four contracted Democrat seats there. That's coming in March.
Oh, that's so sad. I just want to say, we have family members and a lot of friends that live in California, Commifornia, as we like to say. However, guess what, folks? Commifornia is confirming today, as of today, a lot of House wins for Republicans.
Yep,
because
five.
You can't call the fucking state 2 minutes after your goddamn polls close.
I think the number's five seats we flipped in California, by the way.
Yeah.
I think that's and that's according to the counts that they just couldn't deny.
Yeah. And so I just want to say, like, they originally called the state literally 2 minutes after the polls closed. And they said, oh, Orange County, they all bloated blue. Well, they've done a recount there. And I'm telling you, Orange County has never been blue. That is a highly conservative area. Shit is getting real in California. So I'm just going to tell Bob. I'm throwing this at Bob and I'm going to poke you right now. I'm still saying California's in play, sweetheart.
Oh,
because I'm looking for those points, and then you're gonna owe me not a toaster oven, but something
else. That's right. I promise her I would
something else exceptional.
I would kiss her on her bare ass if California went red.
Yeah, he did.
Right. I think he that and to support that, by the way, I also had said that California is likely to be sued next from the president's team, as well as I know that Buzz Patterson is going after them as well.
Yes.
Because of fraud and the fact that California is one of the states accepting late ballots. So Supreme Court may conjoin that case. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, James, I'll kiss your ass too if it turns red.
Oh my God. We're going to have to line up in a row. It's going to be
Hold on. Technically, it's already because we flipped five House seats. So I think he already owes Janet the ass kissing.
He's closer to me. He would have to fly to see you.
I think it'd be worth a trip to Hawaii to kiss James' ass. As long as I get like a week's stay out there.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm just saying. So anyway, we're going to close it out for this evening, but I just want to say again, thank you to both of you for joining me, because we got to get the information out. We got to keep doing our thing. And I love and appreciate you both so much for everything that you do. And it's amazing. So, Bob, final words, and where can they find you?
Oh, so final words. These are two of my favorite people to talk with about all this stuff. So I couldn't ask for two better people to be in a foxhole with, as they say. You can follow me on YouTube or Twitter at Bob's Lessons. You can find a lot of my work there. And just keep up the fight. I hope this podcast gave everybody a little bit of confidence going forward as well.
And what's your actual Twitter handle Instagram handle?
My Twitter handle is at Bob's Lessons. My Instagram is also at Bob's Lessons.
At Janet's Butt Kisser? No, I'm kidding.
It will be if California goes red. I'll change it.
That is going to be a huge party. So, James, please promote your stuff too. Where can they find you at, and what can they watch you on?
Thanks, Janet. Again, I couldn't echo Bob's sentiments enough. In fact, let me spend some time promoting Bob, because I don't think he promotes himself enough. Make sure you're following at Bob's Lessons. I'm telling you, this guy is singularly the most mega talented person on the internet. He does it all.
Agreed.
He sings, he writes, he plays music, he memes, he can set everything, and he has that quick wit that can just set that meme in stone, like, instantly. So I think that I should spend time promoting him, not myself. If you want to see more of Bob's actions, though, you can follow me for Pirate Radio, and you can watch us every Friday night at Real Person PLTCS. We play all of Bob's memes all the time. In fact, I stole his work, and I use it as one of my outros, like on every show I produce, because it's that good. Like, I just play his work. I don't even have to talk anymore. I just pull up, here, this is all of Bob's playlist. We're just going to play Bob on the way out the door. So make sure you're following me at Real Person PLTCS on just about every platform. If I'm not there, it's because I just don't exist there.
That's too generous, too kind.
And he's not lying. Bob has some major talent, and he is a fire show of and for himself. And I'm just saying, his stuff is amazing, but you have to definitely follow James if you don't already, because he puts in so much work and he does so many shows a week. What is it, James? Like 5 days a week?
Pretty much. I do my daily drive around Periscope, which happens every day, 5 days a week. Then I do produce a few other people's shows at night that people I don't really talk about because I don't like to get credit for that. And then I do my own stuff. Like I do the Hot Seats on Thursday nights. I do Pirate Radio Friday nights, Ladies of Liberty Saturday night. And then occasionally we'll squeeze in other stuff, and I do other people's shows like this right here. Follow Janet and listen to this podcast, which I will promote on my Twitter page as well as soon as I get it out. But I'm busy. Like, I put in 7 days a week effort here. I have to make sure that I make time for my wife before she stabs me in the neck.
Well, even on election night, I do remember you had dinner with her. So props to you for that.
I did. I tell people all the time. I said, look, it's the most important thing. You got to make sure that you make time. So even during 24-hour election coverage, I stepped away from the camera while everybody else carried the show. And I sat down and ate dinner with my wife. I always make time for her.
And that's super important. And I tell my listeners that all the time. Like, you have to regroup, recenter, and focus on your family and your life and your personal well-being. So for me, I'm super excited that both these guys have been on my show tonight. I've been on James's show before. Bob and I have done a lot of things before, and I will tell you, this is a secret. Don't tell anybody. Somebody may or may not be back on Twitter. And the handle is at KNOW with a capital K, Janet with the capital J, J-A-N-E-T. So no Janet on Twitter. I deleted my Parler because life sucks over there and it's just too much gooberific for me. I can't even handle it. Follow me on the whole IG at Deplorable Janet, and make sure you fuckers like, download, subscribe, and comment on the podcast, because I got to get that following back up. We lost a shit ton of viewers when they nuked us before, so make sure you do that. But I just want to say, always use critical thinking, always stay focused, love each other, be nice, don't be a dickhole. And anyway, I just want to say, I love you both so much, and I'm so excited that you both came on here today. So for me, for James, and for Bob, peace out, love, and we'll see you next time on Deplorable Nation.